Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 73, stanzas 1, 2, and 6. The Lord Almighty is my light. He is my Savior ever near. And since my strength is in his might, who can distress me or affright? What evil shall I fear? 1, 2, and 6 of Psalter 73.
scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the first book of Corinthians, and thereof chapter 10, the first 17 verses. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10, the first 17 verses. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, and thou who hast ascended on high, and thou who hast led captivity captive, and thou who hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. We may gather for a second time in thy house, It is the place where thine honor dwelleth. May it be also experienced in this afternoon hour in the hearts of men. When we are together gathered in a natural way, that thou may gather with us in a spiritual way. For thou hast suffered and thou hast died. Thou hast paid that awful price in order that thou mayest give gifts unto men, in order that God himself may tabernacle among men. And so thou givest thy word in the midst of thy church. Thou givest the gathering of thy church over the length and the breadth of this whole world, that thou may gather with them wherever that they may be in the midst of this world in this day. May it be also with us and with our children. For thou knowest in a special way what we do have before us in the week that is to come. When we hope to once again do according to thy commandment, to show forth thy death until thou come. Then it is behooving each and every one of us to do also thy bidding, that we may examine ourselves and so eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Lord, then who is sufficient for these things? Then we need that our attention may be taken away from all that draws us in this world day by day. Then we need that thy Spirit may set us apart, that we may be drawn to go into our secret places, each one of us, that we may meditate and that we may consider how that we have been created, how that we have fallen away from thee, what thou hast done for the salvation of thy church, and whether that we are also participants by the power of thy Spirit of that grace that thou givest unto all thy people. Lord, then it is an examination that may be in a life of so many of us that we say that is quickly finished, because then we realize that we are standing without, but that that may also be bound upon our hearts in this very hour, that we may realize that we also cannot die as we have been born. And when we have heard in this morning hour what it is to be able to die, to be able to leave this life and to enter into that life eternal that is to stand before thee, O Lord, then something needs to take place in our life. O, do give us to learn to die before that we have to die. That when we do realize that we are not partakers of thy grace and of thy salvation, that it may bring us to our knees before thee, that we may smite upon our breast, that we may cry out unto thee in all our wretchedness and in all our misery, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, because our time, O Lord, that is so short, and thou knowest it, but we have blinded eyes, and we have ears that we have stopped. Open our eyes, wilt thou open our ears this hour? Do remember each and every one of thy children. Thou knowest where that they are, for they are thine own. Lord, thou hast begun, and thou wilt also uphold, and thou wilt finish thine own work. But thou knowest how that it is in the heart of each and every one of them. For there are those that know not yet their right hand from their left. And thou knowest all the questions and all the riddles that can be in their hearts even in this time of preparation for thy holy supper. Thou knowest also those that are not strangers of thee, whose eyes that have been opened to see their own wretchedness and their own impossibility, and who are not strangers of the revelations of thee, that may with that eye of faith they have beheld thee. O Lord, thou knowest why that thou hast left behind for them when thou hast ascended on high this ordinance, before that thou hast left thy church upon the earth, that thou hast said, do this in remembrance of me, and that it may be for the upholding of that faith that thou hast, that thou knowest to be so often of so little strength. Oh, that thou may thus remember thy people, those that are more advanced upon the way. O Lord, thou knowest each and every one, and what is necessary, because it is so possible that they are also sleeping with the bride. Then their heart is still waketh. They do hear the bridegroom knocking. O Lord, could it please thee so to awaken them even in this day, that they may be given to rise up to their beloved? O, so much then is necessary in this hour. Lord, who is sufficient for these things, to lead in such a service, in such a solemn matter, when each and every one is called to examine their own hearts. O Lord, that thou may give us wisdom then, give us understanding, and lead us into all thy truth, that we may be enabled to be an instrument in thy holy fingers, to feed thy church, and to take forth the precious from the vile, that none may deceive themselves upon that journey to that great eternity. O, bless then thy own holy word. Wilt thou look upon those that bring thy word over the length and breadth of this whole world, also in this day, in our own community, in this area? Thou knowest where that they are, and all our denomination, the students, thy servants, the mission fields. Thou knowest over the length and breadth of this whole earth. Remember thou the nations in which we live. They have been upheld by thee. They have been strengthened by thee to become great nations in the midst of this world. But we are also nations in the midst of the height of our prosperity, who have departed from thee in such ways that are even in an outward way so appalling. Lord, that thou wouldst be pleased to turn us again. O, open thou our eyes, and judge us not according to our many sins. Wilt thou give that thy Sabbath day may once again be hallowed, that thy name may be honored, that men may be given to love God, thee, thou who art in the heavens above, and also our neighbor as ourself, that the devices of Satan may be put away. Wilt thou give rulers that may rule according to thy holy word? For thou knowest all that is necessary. Wilt thou look upon us then in this afternoon hour? Remember young and old together, the children, the young people. Then for them they are not able to come forth the next Sabbath day. But then it is not something that is not pertaining also unto them. Give them hearing ears in the days of their youth. Give them burning hearts while that they are young. After the blessed portion of thy own people, Lord, remember us then. Help us, strengthen us bodily. Help us in the mind and grant thy spirit in our hearts all together. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 416, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. As the heart about to falter in its trembling agony, panteth for the brooks of water, so my soul doth pant for thee. Stanzas 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 416. Congregation, the words of our text for this special hour can be found in the portion of God's Word which was read to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and thereof the 16th verse. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So far in the words of our text. The cup of blessing which we bless. Then immediately, then we are thinking in our minds of the cup which is blessed, which over which we are asking a blessing at the Holy Supper of the Lord, that is the Holy Communion, that is as it has been instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ for His church here in this world. As the apostle was here speaking about that communion and its commemoration in the time in which he was living, and also as we hope, the Lord willing, to commemorate it once again in the week to come. It happens that we are also at this Lord's Day in our Heidelberg Catechism, concerning the article of faith, which says, I believe the communion of saints. That is not something that was planned by us, but that is something that the Lord, He has placed in our way. And therefore, we wish also to consider this with you. That is Lord's Day 21, only the 55th question. What do you understand by the communion of saints? Answer, first, that all and everyone who believes, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of Him and of all His riches and gifts. Secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. So far, our Lord's Day, and we see three parts in this as it is speaking of the communion of the saints. We see in the first place explained the essence of the communion of saints. The essence, what does it say? That being members of Christ. Thus the essence of the communion of saints. We see in the second place something of the participation in this communion, or the communion itself, that is with one another, as we read, all and everyone in common. Third, we see something of the obligations that are connected to this communion, that everyone must know it to be his duty readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. Thus, three parts, and we have also three services, do we not? And thus, we wish in these three services to consider these three parts. Thus, in this morning, in this afternoon, the essence of this communion, which we will divide once again, first, what the essence of this communion is. So we see members of Christ, or partakers of Him, And second, how the essence of that communion is experienced. And how is that? That is by faith. What does it say? All and everyone who believes. Thus, this afternoon, the essence of the communion of the saints, what it is, and how that it is experienced. Will that commemoration then be based upon our catechism? No, indeed not. But our fathers, they are explaining in the catechism the word of God. And thus, we find also the essence of that communion that is explained in the words of our text, the cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The Lord give opening and blessing upon His holy word. Set before us in this week, congregation, is the work of preparation. And what is that work of preparation? That is the work of self-examination. That is not the work of neighbor examination, but of self-examination. Because that is the responsibility of each of us for our own soul. And we can read also that the apostle speaks of the solemnity of this self-examination. When he speaks about eating and drinking, a judgment unto ourselves. Thus, it is not a light matter that is set before us in this week. Not that he speaks about a man who is partaking of that supper, that he is bringing himself into an eternal condemnation, no. But that the Lord, when we choose to, in a historical or in a temporal way, defile the table of the Lord, that the Lord also leaves a person more and more over to himself. And therefore, it is a solemn work that is laying before us. What is that self-examination all about? Well, that is whether or not that we are partakers of the essence of that communion. Indeed, then we must be, in an outward way, a confessing member of the church. And that must also be that we are in a way of good standing as an outward member. But we need not only a church right, we need also a divine right. And the essence of the communion of saints, that is not their communion with one another. The essence of the communion of saints is not their participation in the Holy Supper of the Lord. Indeed, there are those for whom that there is nothing so important as that they may be able to come forward in the church and to sit at the table of the Lord, that is before the entire congregation of the Lord. But then we have to warn you that if this is deep down in your heart what is for you the most important, then indeed you do miss what is the very essence of that Holy Communion. Next week, indeed, we wish to be witnesses of the partaking of that Holy Supper, that is the participation in that Holy Supper, and that is indeed a blessed thing. But we have heard out of God's Word the Apostle Paul. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did eat all of the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Thus, each one of them partaking in an outward way of the same blessings of the Lord under the administration of the outward covenant of the Lord. But, he says, with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Thus, he says, that is not enough. Thus, he says, it is not a saving matter when we will place ourselves among the communion with God's people, because that is not now the essence of it. I believe the communion of saints. What has that to do with? That has to do with the Holy Catholic Church. We have considered something of that Holy Catholic Church already last time. And now we read the word saints. I believe the communion of the saints. What is that? What does that word mean? We know in the Roman Catholic Church in that they speak about making a person a saint. That is to declare them to be a saint. That is that they are those who have what they call supererogatory good works, so that they are able to benefit also other persons. And these persons, they are made to be saints. But we read no such thing in God's Word. The word saint, that means holy, meaning separated. That means set apart for a very special purpose. Thus, the people of the Lord, they are separated. How? They are separated in election. They are separated by the calling of the Lord. They are separated by regeneration. They are separated by faith. They are separated through the warfare that they are given commonly to fight. That is not a separation that they have themselves instigated, but it is a separation that is coming from the Lord Himself. They are chosen, we read, to be a peculiar people unto Himself, unto the Lord. Thus, I believe the communion of saints. What then is communion? Well, that speaks about something that we have in common. Communion is a joint participation in something. So something that we have a great agreement in. Communion is a very blessed thing in this world. When we are able to commune, boys and girls, you know already what that is. When you have a friend and you say, "That friend, I can speak to him." Why? Well, because he has the same interest. He likes to do the same things that I do. and he maybe likes the same subjects in school, and later someone who does the same job as you, or maybe someone who has the same disease as you do, the same difficulties as you do, the same experiences that you do in your life, then you say, we can commune with one another. And what is now the basis of that communion? Well, you say that is that thing that you have in common with each other. Because if we did not have this commonality, well, then we would soon be finished talking. Sometimes you say that with this person, I cannot speak with them so very long because, well, we have nothing in common. We have no communion. Thus, the communion of the saints. What is that? What is now the basis? What is that now that the saints, they have in common? Well, that is communion with Christ himself. That is now the essence of the communion of the saints. Because they have each communion with Christ himself, well, then they have a very great thing in common, in which they are in a very great agreement. And then naturally, then it is possible that they have a very sweet communion with one another. Because they are those who are not strangers of the life, the intricacies of that life, the experiences of that life, that is all out of that communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and that there is a very basis for their communion. And that is now what our text is speaking about when it speaks about the Holy Supper of the Lord, when it speaks about the cup of blessing which we bless and the bread which we break, then it says, what are they? What is that in actuality? Well, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Is that not actually what it is? Is that not actually the essence of the thing? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Thus we have the essence of that communion of the saints that is lying in the communion with Christ. Thus, we must ask ourselves, what is that? What is now the communion with Christ, as the apostle is saying it here, the communion of the blood of Christ, the communion of the body of Christ? Well, that is nothing less than the union with him. In order, through that union, that he may communicate, that he may give unto his church all the gifts and all the blessings which he desires to give to them. Thus, that union, the scriptures, they are full of illustrations of this union. When, for example, we read about Christ as being the head of the church, and the church that is the body, then we see that there is a very intimate union at the very center, as the very basis for the communion of Christ and his church. We read Christ says, I am the vine. He says, ye are the branches. We read about him as being the foundation, and that church, they are built upon him, so that he is the very foundation of that church, that they rest upon him, and that he is the rock, he is the stability of that church. We read also that he is the bridegroom, and that that church is the bride. And so we read in many ways of that union, that very close union, in order that that church may receive blessings that are communicated from Christ unto themselves. That communion that is between Christ and his church, that is an extremely intimate communion. Our fathers, they speak about being members of Christ. And they speak not about that out of their own minds, but that comes directly out of the Word of God. What closer communion can we find than the communion that is between the head and the body? You understand that that is a communion where there is a very great dependence. What closer communion can we find than between a husband and a wife? What closer communion can you find between a building and its foundation when we think about the dependence thereon? Thus, it is the communion of what? Well, the apostle, he says, in a special way, that it is the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? He speaks of what? He speaks about the shed blood. He speaks about the broken body of Christ. Thus he speaks about the sacrifice of Christ. Thus, that is the communion of the wicked for with him who has died for the ungodly. Thus, that is the communion of the guilty with him who was crucified, having done nothing amiss. Thus we read of the branches of that vine in such a way that they are drawing the sap out of that vine, in order that they may take therefrom the blessings that vine is giving unto them. There is a great communion. That is a communion between those who are polluted with him who is the Son of Righteousness. And thus we have the communion of those who are hungry with the bread of life, and those who are thirsty with that fountain of living waters, the communion of the body of Christ, the communion of the blood of Christ. That is a communion by which a sinner receives grace. How? What do our fathers say? They say, partakers of him and all his riches and gifts. His riches and gifts, what are they? Well, that is everything that a sinner needs. Thus, it is a communion by which the dead are raised. It is a communion by which the guilty are justified. It is a communion by which those who are polluted are sanctified. It is a communion by which those who are rebellious are renewed. It is a communion by which those who are lost are saved. A communion through which every gift is bestowed to His church. A communion by which the poor are made rich. How? Well, ye know that though He was rich, yet He became poor, and that for your sakes, that for His sake ye may be made rich. What does Paul say? He says, of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, who communicates unto us through that communion wisdom, righteousness, justification, sanctification, a complete redemption. Thus we say, in the first place, that this communion with Christ, this union with Him, that is now the essence of the communion of the saints. That is the very thing that makes that body one body. Because all of them, they are partakers of the gifts that are flowing out of Him, because they are in union with Him. Our question, of course, that is for this week, am I also a partaker? And that is indeed a very important question. And we wish to consider that in our second thought, how that this essence is experience. Let us sing first from Psalter 203. 203, stanzas 1, 3, and 5. In sweet communion, Lord, with Thee, I constantly abide. My hand Thou holdest in Thy own to keep me near Thy side. 1, 3, and 5 of Psalter 203. the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? What is congregation necessary? Or the proper, the right participation, the right use of that holy supper of the Lord? That is, that we are not strangers of the essence of that communion. Thus, that must be our question. And therefore, we had also a desire to begin there in this hour. That we may ask ourselves whether we are now strangers of the essence of that communion, yes or no. Because Christ, he says, do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. Thus, we do not go to the supper of the Lord that we may receive conversion. We do not go to that supper in order that we may be born again. No. But that sacrament is a sacrament of nourishment. Thus, it is a sacrament to feed, to nourish, to strengthen those who are indeed alive. You say, how do I know? How do I know that I am actually a partaker of the essence of that communion? Our fathers, they say, what do you understand by the communion of saints? First, that all and everyone who believes, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of him and all his riches and gifts. Everyone who believes, being members. Thus, those who believe, they are the members. Thus, we have the great, the grand mark of the members of Christ that is lying in faith. That is, that it is lying in true saving faith. It cannot be otherwise, because it is a spiritual gift. And a spiritual gift can be received by us in no other way but by the hand of faith. Thus, our question is, do we have true saving faith? Do I believe? Children, when does someone begin to believe? Do you know? Well, he begins to believe in regeneration. Last week, we spoke a little bit about that, because we said that that church that is consisting of living members, and the living members, they are members who have been born again. They are members who have been regenerated. And now it is in that day of regeneration, in that moment of the good pleasure of the Lord, when a man is made alive by the Spirit, that faith that is planted in his soul, and he begins to believe. There is no such thing as faith existing in its essence and not existing at all in its exercise. When a child is born, then a child begins immediately to breathe. He begins immediately to cry. And these very things, this breathing and this crying, are the very signs, the evidences, the tokens that actually he is alive. Thus, faith, when it is planted in that moment of regeneration, immediately begins to believe. We do not say that such a child understands that he is born. But such a child does experience that he is born. The understanding of that birth, that will come later. And so that is also with that new birth. We do not say that such an infant spiritual child understands that he is born. But we do say that he experiences everything that is necessary to experience because of that birth. The consequences of being alive, he will begin to experience what they are. But it is only later that he will begin to be able to look back and to understand something of what it means to have been born. Thus, the Lord's Supper. For whom is the Lord's Supper? You say that is for the members of Christ. So it is. And when does a man, a boy, a girl, because that can be when you are very young children, do you ask for that? When does a man become a member of Christ? That is in the day that he is born. Is that so? Yes. That is so. That is objectively from the side of the Lord in the birth of that person, then he is now a child. Even then, he does not understand that he is a child. Thus, who of those members, may we say, may not come to that table of the Lord? You say, none of them. They are all the members of Christ. That is true. There is not one, not the very smallest of God's church that is born that will ever be able to eat and to drink condemnation unto himself. It is impossible. However, that is not all that there is to be said about it. And why not? Well, because as in our natural family, our infants have a right to our table, does not mean that we bring them to our table. And that is not because we say they have no right to it. They are members. But it is because we say that the food that is at that table is not an appropriate food for them yet. They are so young that they are not yet able to digest the food of those who are older. And so the Apostle Paul, he says to the Corinthians, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. He says, because hitherto you were not able to bear it, Neither, he says, yet now are ye able. And thus we say, let not those be discouraged, as if they certainly missed the essence of the matter, simply because they cannot yet find a place at that table of the Lord. All and everyone who believes. What is now the food that is at that table? Say there is bread, that is wine. Our children understand. They begin to understand already. That is not just bread and just wine, but that is a symbol. That it is speaking about something else. And that is right, boys and girls, that is our very text. And what is the essence of that which it is speaking about? The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Thus, last week, we began to speak about the beginning movements of faith in the church. That faith that has certain objects, that is longing for, do you remember what they were, children, young people? We said that they love home. Well, they love the people of the Lord. Do you love the people of the Lord? They love the house of the Lord. They love the law of the Lord. And they love the Lord Himself. Thus we have some of those first, those beginning objects of that true saving faith. And then there is by times hope, there is by times gladness, that people, they can sometimes rejoice. And when they go out of the house of the Lord and laid out before them were some of those beginning marks, whereby that they can find something of some communion. They say, that is also living within my heart. Sometimes they can receive such a sweetness when they may hear the word of God, when they may read the word of God, a portion of that word, a promise in the word of God, which may so fall into their heart. But now all these marks are not yet sufficient that a person may profit from the Holy Supper of the Lord. There is also a semblance of them, a resemblance of them in temporary faith. Thus think, you have all read Pilgrim's Progress, I think. Think about Pliable. Then he is traveling out with Christian. He has not that true faith, but we cannot tell the difference between these two men, Christian and Pliable. Neither can they themselves know the difference. Thus, there is a semblance also of those beginning marks which may be so sweet in the life of that people, in that also which is not true. What is now missing still in the life of God's true church, when they may be traveling in that way that is the love of Christ. The love of Christ. That is faith in Christ. That Christ has become the object of faith. Certainly they love the Lord, but they do not distinguish between the persons of that Holy Trinity, because they are not, as it were, mature enough in that life of grace. But what is now the food at the table? The food at that table that is the tokens of the broken body and the shed blood of Christ. We would say in a reverent way that is food that they are not able yet to digest. That is something that for them they do not yet know. How can they commune with the church concerning the essence of that communion when the essence of it is the communion with Christ, when the suffering and the death of Christ is what is all and all for the true people of the Lord? It is, they cannot commune yet about this. Some of you will say, then it is, that means that it is for only the established church, those that have a conscious knowledge that they are forgiven. No. No, it is also for the concerned church. Is there no part of that concerned church that experiences what it is to eat the flesh and to drink the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Indeed there is. That is begun in that day that He has revealed Himself to their soul. No, they cannot speak of the application. That is something that many of that church, they never can speak of. But indeed, they can speak of the revelation. And they can speak of that hope that was born in that day when He was opened to their soul, when they were witnesses of the suitability of that sacrifice, even for such as they are in themselves. Is there not a difference between Bunyan's wicked gate and the cross? They are not the same thing. No, there is a separation, there is a space that is between them, and there is a reason that Bunyan is portraying it in this fashion. They do not receive everything in one day. And it is the rejoicing in the revelation of Him that comes first. And that is yet within that concerned church. They have not been established yet. How does Bunyan picture that for us? He pictures it as a wicked gate, as a door. Why? Because Christ, He says, I am the door. And that door, that is a door that goes open. A door that goes open. Where is that door? That door is on the other side of Mount Sinai. What does that mean? On the other side of the law. And what happens at that law? Well, at that law is where a man is cut off. At that law is a place where a man has to die. At that law is that place where all my righteousnesses and all my work that becomes as filthy rags. At that law is where the curses condemn me. At that law is where I experience that from my side it is an utter impossibility. Why? Because that in me, that is in my flesh, that there dwelleth no good thing. Thus, that young church is still missing this. But the Spirit, by the law, He is able to take care of this. Paul, he says, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And now when that Spirit of the Lord, He is shedding light upon who Christ is in the life of that people, He is doing so to a people who are convinced. Who are convinced of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. We do not say that the depth is the same in which a person experiences this, but cut off from every hope from the side of man, it must be. Otherwise, there is no room for that mediator. And now what does that soul see? In that day when the Lord is opening His eyes and when He is revealing something to their soul of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, He sees a possibility in His own impossibility. In whom is that possibility? That is in Christ. That is what He sees. It is in Him alone. Alone. And for whom? Not for my neighbor, but as our fathers say, not only for others, also for me. That is now the point. That is now the point. Our fathers in the form, then we can read that they speak of believing that faithful promise of God, that all my sins are forgiven me only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ. What is that? That is not now the assurance of faith, wherein a person may be assured that his sins are forgiven. No. What is it? It is the assurance that is in that is experienced in those moments when the Lord is opening to such a sinner who He is. And then indeed, in that moment, Christ becomes for him the object of true saving faith. Why? Because he sees that it is not himself, but it is God. It is God Himself who is joining together these two into a blessed union. God Himself, that is Christ and sinners. And in that moment, the heart is going out in true faith to Him, also concerning myself. Then they may believe it, even if it is in such a weak way, even if it is that which lasts within them for one moment, but ask them of the joy. Ask them of the joy. And how can we have joy when it is always for others? Know that joy that has to do with the fact that they have seen that it is also for me. And then the heart is burning. Then it is burning not only after God, but then the heart that is burning after that blessed mediator, that they may seek Him, that they may find Him, that they may be established. And so, the Lord's Supper, that is by Christ instituted for such persons, that He may feed them, that He may strengthen them. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Congregation, that question, are we a stranger of the essence of the matter? Are we a stranger of that communion with Christ? Even for one moment in our life, did we ever experience what the essence of that communion is? If that smallest part of free grace, the smallest part of free grace in Christ that has ever been opened unto you, that has ever been revealed unto you in all your wretchedness, in all your own impossibility, then we say, leave not your place empty at the table of the Lord. Christ, He says, do this in remembrance of me. And those who may remember Him are also commanded to remember Him. And those who cannot remember Him, do not despair, but wait. Wait on the Lord, and fear not, though succor be delayed. Those that remember Him, they will desire to see Him again, because that is the most precious and blessed thing that they have ever seen in their whole life. Then they will desire that the Lord may give this to them again, that the Lord may bring it back, all their wilderness journey, and that the Lord may strengthen them in that faith that He has given them to exercise in that moment. Oh, may the Savior of sin gather with us in the week to come, that we also may be given to see Him once again in all His beauty. Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou bless thy word, Thou knowest all our hearts. Wilt thou show us the truth of the matter? Keep us from deceiving ourselves. We have to stand before thee on that last day, and deception that will all be taken away then. Take it away now. Open our eyes. Give us a week of preparation. Give us a place on our knees. Give us that which we may read. Take away all that comes between. And wilt thou thyself remember us in the week to come? Lord, gather with us and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Fill us with thy spirit and thy blessing. Help each one in all the labors of this world in this week. Keep from sin and evil. Keep from danger and harm. Remember him that lies in the hospital. Take away his pain. Heal him in the body. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 159:1-4. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from thee, but thou wilt hear my cry. And what follows in 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 159. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.